Mark chapter 1. I still feel like I'm in a barrel. There we go. Getting a little better. All right. Leprosy was one of the most feared diseases of Jesus' time. Today, it's known as Hansen's disease. Leprosy is a severe bacterial infection that spread through the air or by physical touch. And even today, there's still no cure. However, they can manage it and control it with medication. But the physical effects of leprosy included sponge-like knots and swellings on the skin. There was damage to the internal organs. The bones became brittle. The nervous system was damaged to the point they were unable to feel pain. Many lepers would walk down the street, turn an ankle, and not know it. They may be walking around with a broken ankle and just not feel it. And rather than, you know, yell out in pain, they would walk. They would just adjust the way they walked because they just didn't know that they had a broken bone. They also had a weakened immune system, which made them more susceptible to other sicknesses and diseases. So the physical effects were bad enough. Well, then there's the social effects. They were outcasts. Many people tried to avoid them. When they found out they were infected, they would be quarantined and examined by a priest to determine if they were clean or if they were unclean. They were restricted from living in populated areas, and they were not even allowed to enter a walled city. If the city had a wall, they couldn't even go in. They were required to warn others that they were unclean when they approached, and they had to keep their distance. If it was a normal day, they had to keep at least a 6-foot distance from any other person. If it was windy, they had to stay 150 feet away. Then there were the religious effects of leprosy. Because they were unclean, they were also considered ceremonially unclean. They were unable to worship and sacrifice in the temple. Lepers, in short, I told you all that because I want you to understand in the passage we read today the desperation of this leper that came to Jesus. Lepers during Jesus' day, they lived in hopeless isolation from society. And this leper was no different. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 40 through 45. If you would, let's stand in honor of God's word. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him, sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Father, I pray as we look at the story of this leper and this pivotal point in Jesus' earthly ministry that we would see your compassion and your love for even the most outcast and the most torn from society. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus was and is a compassionate Savior. And we see that here in the life of this leper. This story is very significant. 3 of the 4 gospel writers record it. So that tells us that this is an important story because all 3 remembered this and recorded this. It's found in Luke chapter 5 and also in Matthew chapter 8. But this leper comes to Jesus with a problem. And this leper is desperate, as I described his condition. He was in dire straits. He was in a terrible place and condition. But this leper demonstrated incredibly bold faith to come to Jesus as he did. Remember, they were supposed to keep their distance. He came into the city and came to Jesus. He defied all the social acceptable things and came to Jesus in a public place. Luke chapter 5, the parallel passage, we won't turn there, but the parallel passage, one of the other accounts of this story, says that when he came to Jesus, he fell on his face and he worshiped. He acknowledged Jesus for who he was and he called on him as Lord. Kurios is the word used here. We've talked about this word before. It's a title that was given to the Messiah and to God. But it means supreme master, owner of all. And here in verse 40, the leper came, he knelt down, as Luke says, he fell on his face and he worshiped and called him Lord. Said, if you are willing, then you can make me clean. He said, if you are willing, in doing so, he willingly submitted himself to God's grace and God's mercy. And he said, you can make me clean. He believed that Jesus, he had faith that Jesus was able to deliver him. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, we see this leper's problem, but we also see his faith. And it's important that you know, I don't know what you're going through right now, what your life circumstance is. It may be dire, it may be very difficult. But I want each of you to know that we serve a Savior who is ready, willing, and able to cleanse and deliver. Jesus is able to cleanse and forgive even the worst of sinners and the worst of sins. 1 John 1:9, I quote this passage a lot, but it is so important that we understand. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whether it's the first confession unto salvation, your first time coming to Jesus, or the believer's daily confession of sin, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no sin that's too bad that He can't forgive. And there's no addiction too strong that He cannot set us free from. There's no attitude or behavior too wicked that He cannot change. And there's no life too far gone that He cannot save. Amen. We serve a wonderful Savior. And this leper brought him a problem. And Jesus showed him compassion. Look at verse 41. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out His hand and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus provided healing, badly needed healing to this leper. Jesus, though, I want you to see, he was affected emotionally. Jesus was deeply affected by the condition of this man. And he reacted very differently than some of the others may have during his day. I can imagine a lot of the religious leaders would have been outraged at this man's behavior. To come in the walled city and come straight up to him. If it had been any other teacher or any other religious leader, they would have scoffed at him or even fussed at him and said, get out of here. They may have even had him arrested because it was against the law for him to do what he did. But Jesus, some may have been scared. They may have turned and ran because here came a leper who was highly contagious. But Jesus was moved with compassion. In the original language, here's a fun word to say around the dinner table, splagnizomai. Say that one three times fast. But moved with compassion is one word. And it refers to deep love and pity. The root word refers to the bowels that this word comes from. Jesus was, and it has the idea if you've ever had butterflies in your stomach. Jesus was moved in his gut. He was moved to the point he felt it in his stomach for this man. He He was moved with compassion. He grieved with this man. He didn't just look at the man and say, oh, that's too bad. No, he felt this man's pain within himself. He felt it in his gut. He felt his pain. He felt his hopelessness. And he was moved emotionally. And then Jesus does something incredible. It says he stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, how many of the religious leaders would have done this? Because by doing so, this made Jesus ceremonially unclean, according to their law. But Jesus felt such love and compassion for this man. Jesus often broke many of the so-called ritualistic, legalistic things. And he reaches out and he touches this man. How long do you think it had been since anyone had even touched this man? He lived in complete isolation, probably. He probably hadn't been touched or hugged or anything by anyone. But the love that Jesus felt for this man, he reaches out and he puts his hand on him and touches him as a sign of love and compassion. In a moment, Jesus speaks the word and says, I'm willing, be cleansed. And in that moment, all those sores and all those swellings and those scars were gone. We don't know the exact way that it worked, but we do know it was immediate. When Jesus healed someone, there was no, as I talked about last week, when we looked at Peter's mother-in-law, when Jesus healed somebody, it was instantaneous. There wasn't a recovery period. He didn't half heal them, and then they had to recover. No, when Jesus healed someone, it was full recovery. And in this moment, his sores and his scars were gone. His bones immediately became strong, and he was completely cured. In verse 43, it says, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now Jesus does something interesting. He gives him two very specific instructions, and it's very interesting. The first one is, don't tell anybody. Now in our mind, we kind of scratch our head. We'll come back to this in just a minute. Why in the world would Jesus do that? We'll come back to that in just a moment. I want us to focus on the second one, though. He says, go tell the priest and fulfill the Mosaic law for your cleansing so that you can be legally restored and able to go back to the temple, back in all these places you've been isolated from. Go back to the priest and let him know you're ready to be restored. Now, he told him to go to the priest. Well, this is evidence in itself that he was completely healed all at once. Because it was almost a 100-mile walk back to Jerusalem. And here's this leper that couldn't hardly walk. He had no sensation in his legs. He had a 100-mile walk to go. So it's pretty evident that he was instantly and completely healed. In Leviticus 14, we won't turn there, but it describes this process that Jesus told him to go back and go through this process and be restored. It was an 8-day. The cleansing was an 8-day process that involved the priest at the temple. The leper would go back and had to take two birds. He killed one and kept the other one alive. I won't get into it. But long story short, it was an 8-day thing, and on the 8th day he would be declared clean. And he would be fully restored to society and all the things that he had been isolated from for so long. But Jesus says here, his last phrase, he says, go and do this as a testimony to them. For this leper to walk in, remember what I told you, there's still no cure for leprosy today. We can control it, but we still can't cure it. You can imagine during this time, when someone got leprosy, it was a death sentence. You knew, this is it. My life is over. And it was a long, terrible thing to live in isolation until you die. To live with broken bones that maybe you didn't know you had. to live and die from something else. It reminded me, as I was studying this and reading about it, it reminded me a lot of other diseases we have that attack your immune system and make you just so susceptible to other things. But this leper coming back in to the priest, it would have been an undeniable event. For him to walk in completely cured and tell the priest, "I've been cured of leprosy," which was not possible in their time. It would have been an undeniable testimony of Jesus' divine healing power to these priests. Believers should be known for our compassion. We serve a compassionate Savior, and we too, as we mirror Him, we should be known for our compassion. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And this is very important. He says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." We should be a compassionate people. We should love one another. Believers should never fuss at one another. Can I get an amen? It does nothing but harm the cause of Christ when we do. Our love is what sets us apart from the world. There's enough fighting and fussing and all this junk out here. They don't need it. We don't need it in here. There's no place. In fact, the moment we receive Jesus Christ, we are citizens of heaven. We're not even citizens of this world. And we need to act like it. But it's an important testimony. The way we act, the fact that we love one another, Jesus said that is one thing that they will look at and they will know that you belong to me when you love one another. They're going to know you're different. They're going to see your testimony and they're going to be drawn to me because they see my love and grace in you. Not only do we need to be compassionate and loving to each other as believers, we also need to see and love our lost world the way Jesus did. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." That's the same exact word in today's passage. "Because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" We should be moved as Jesus was in our gut when we see the lost around us, people hurting in our community and in our world. It should move us deeply to love and serve them with the gospel, with the love of Jesus Christ. The leper had a problem and Jesus showed him compassion. He loved this man and he healed him of this sickness. But then there's a problem. There's an interesting problem in verse 45. Verse 45, it says, "However," remember Jesus has just commanded him, and we're going to come back to this now. He says, "Don't tell anybody. Don't you tell a single soul. You go and tell the priest. Receive your cleansing, be restored, but don't tell anybody." And it says in verse 45, "However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." All right, so Jesus commanded him, "Don't tell anybody." And I asked this question a second ago, why in the world would Jesus do that? You would think in our minds, well, publicity would be a good thing for Jesus. It would draw more people to hear the gospel. But what we know is that most of the people who came and followed Jesus were following Him for the wrong reasons. Jesus made it clear in the previous chapter that we just looked at, or in the previous passage we just looked at last week, Mark chapter 1, verse 38, "But He said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth.'" Jesus' primary purpose was to deliver salvation, to bring the good news to mankind. Now, this man's disobedience, the fact that Jesus told him, "Don't tell anybody," to us that seems totally off the wall. Why would he do that? This man chose to disobey and begin to proclaim it freely, it says, and to spread the matter. And it actually had a negative effect on Jesus' ministry. It made it harder. This man's disobedience made it harder for Jesus to be able to preach the gospel in the towns and cities. Jesus knew that most of these people, when these crowds would come, they were only interested in the healing and the miracles. In John chapter 2, verse 23, says, "Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself to them, because He knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for He knew what was in man." He knew that the only reason they followed Him was for the signs and the wonders, to be amazed by what He could do, rather than the gospel that He wanted to preach. And as a result of this episode, and I mentioned early on, this was a turning point in Jesus' Galilean ministry. He could no longer, it says in verse 45, openly enter the city because of this, but was outside in deserted places. Jesus withdrew to the less populated areas for the remainder of His Galilean ministry. He could no longer go into the towns and the cities because so many came. The need was great. And Jesus never turned anyone away to heal them or restore them. But He made it very clear, "This is not why I came." And because of this man spreading the news, Jesus, it distracted from the real reason He was here. But there's a beautiful picture, though. I want to end on a positive note here, because there's a huge metaphor that we need to see here in this passage. Jesus came to trade places. Prior to this event, Jesus was in the cities and towns. And where was the leper? The leper was in isolation, out in the deserted places. Jesus knew. He knew this man was not going to listen to Him. He obviously knew. And He knew the impact this would have on His ministry, but guess what? He touched him, and He loved him anyway. And Jesus was willing to trade places with this one person for this one person because of His great love for him. After this, Jesus went into isolation, into the deserted places, and the leper was restored and able to return to the cities and the towns. Jesus traded places with him because of His great compassion for him. But you know what? Jesus loves us that much. He loves us so much, He was willing to trade places with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus willingly took our place. He traded places with us, just as He did with this leper. He took our place on the cross. We're all sinners, and the penalty for our sin is death. Jesus took our place on the cross, and He paid our sin penalty for us. We call it the substitutionary atonement, or His vicarious death. Jesus took our place. on the cross. You see, on the cross, you remember Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in all of eternity, Jesus, in that moment when all of our sins were laid on Jesus, He was separated from His Father. He was isolated from His Father. Because God the Father cannot be in the presence of sin. He cannot look on sin. And the Father momentarily, you might say, turned His back. And Jesus had never experienced that before. He'd always been with the Father for all eternity, but in that moment, His Father had to turn away. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are we separated, Father? You see, Jesus was isolated from the Father so that you and I could return to the Father. He took our place. So my question to you this morning, has Jesus taken your place? Have you surrendered your life, as the choir sang? Have you surrendered your all to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He is ready, He is willing, and He is able to forgive you if you will but turn to Him. He will receive you if you will receive Him. To the believers in the room, the question for us is, are you living a life of compassion? Are you loving other people the way Jesus loved people? Not just your brothers and sisters in Christ, but do you love the lost? It's one thing to say, I love somebody, but it's a totally different thing to show them. And the Bible says God demonstrated His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated it. He backed it up by sending Jesus to the cross for us. Do we love people that much? Do others see and feel the love of Jesus through you? Not just hear it, do they feel it? Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we see this leper who came in a desperate situation. You loved him, you touched him, you healed him, you restored him, and then you traded places with him. Father, that sounds an awful lot like what you're willing to do for us. I pray for that person that has never received you as Lord, your Son as Lord and Savior, that today would be that day that they realize what you did for them, that they would feel and realize the great compassion with which you loved us and do love us. I pray for the believers in the room that we would give ourselves a serious check. I pray that your Spirit would search our hearts right now. And Father, if your love is not flowing through us, if maybe we're a person that has a bad attitude all the time, maybe we're grumpy all the time, and your love's not flowing through us, I pray that you would convict us of that and change our heart. Only you can do it by your Spirit. But help us to fall on our knees before you. Say, God, your love's not flowing through me to others. Help us to be obedient in Jesus' name. Amen.